Hour number two here, WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkin, Andy Hart. We are live at Gillette Stadium here on a Patriots Monday. What you just heard was the big play in the game there at the end. An 11-play drive went 53 yards. They ended up turning it over on downs, but on 2nd and 10, Brissett hit Jalen Polk on a 12-yard strike over the middle. The replay official reviewed the pass to be incomplete, reversed it, because the toe went down and then the heel landed out of bounds, which is the correct interpretation of the rule. That was the right call. A lot of people were upset about it. Jalen Polk on Instagram today posted a picture of his toe above, you know, with the ankle above the out of bounds line, as though, hey, you know, I caught it. No, you didn't. No, you didn't, buddy. Sorry. Two straight weeks. Looked like you caught it. Didn't catch it. And that's unfortunately the way that this one ended. After a three and out from Miami, they got the ball back. Couldn't quite get down to the end zone. If Polk had come down with that and landed in bounds, and that was the end of the game, and the Patriots win 17-15, mm-hmm. what kind of show are we having today?
I think we're still ripping the game. I think we're still questioning the team. But I think we are probably not talking about Drake May. That's
agreed.
Weird to say. It shouldn't really hinge on that one. I mean, what was that?
A game
4 inches of heel?
A game-winning drive with a touchdown pass. I mean, that's Jacoby Brissett doing that. You can't bench him the next week.
Right, and I'm probably talking about that's unfortunate. That's a win that could cost you the second pick in the draft.
A costly win. Yeah,
it could be. Could have been a costly, ugly win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely, because winning changes. I know Mike McDaniel post-game was talking about how bad the game was and how many things he needs to clean up. But it's always easier to clean things up in victory, especially from his perspective.
Right.
That's a team that wasn't planning on competing for a top pick in the draft. They were planning on competing for a playoff spot, maybe a Super Bowl contender spot. So they needed the win more than the Patriots needed the win down in Miami. But they're going to clean up because they stunk too. I want to be clear here. I'm not saying the Patriots stunk. I'm saying the game stunk.
It was
everybody.
A stinky game.
It was a stinky game, but you would have sprayed a bunch of cologne all over it and really smelled a little differently if you had had the game-winning drive, and especially to Jalen Polk, because I think that would have built a little. It's not Drake May to Polk, which would have been the best-case scenario for me, but it's to Jalen Polk, your second-round receiver, making a play with the game on the line. Like, oh, that's something he can build on, the team can build on. You got Kendrick Bourne back. There's the offensive line, the fact that they played maybe their best game of the year probably would have been magnified in a more positive sense.
I think so.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, they gave up those early sacks, but when the game was on the line, they gave Jacoby the time he needed to make the throw to
Polk. You got your tackles now. That everything's
going to
start getting better. You're going to start improving.
Instead, we're talking.
Lines tend to do. Yeah.
Instead, we're talking about, should the offensive coordinator lose his play calling duties? Should the quarterback lose his starting job? Is it time to see Drake May? Everything changes based on those 4 or 5 inches of heel coming down out of bounds. And by the way, you don't even play into the people. Don't even play into the people. The interpretation. That's a rule. It's
no,
not an interpretation.
No, I agree. It's the rule. I agree.
There's no interpretation.
Fine.
It's not a dumb rule, Scheim. It's a smart rule. It's the only obvious rule. I don't even know how you would change the rule. It makes no sense to try to think about changing the rule. Because if you change it for toe heel,
first thing that touches is the only thing that counts would be then the change to the rule, I guess.
So if a guy's running out of bounds and his heel hits, but then he rolls forward, that counts because he went heel. Because everybody runs that way.
Well, that's if you change it to that, then yeah, that's what it would be. I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying that's something you could change it to.
I would actually advocate for, and I said this to Fitzy on the Six Rings postgame show, if you really are a league that really wants offense all the time,
mm-hmm.
Go to 1 foot. Go to the college and high school rule and just magnify the athletic ability of your athletes. Because think about a guy like, you know, OBJ back in the day. If he just is trying to
doing much less.
No, not at all. But if he knows all I have to get is like one toe in, he can reach for throws that are probably 5 yards out of play, right?
Yeah.
If you really wanted to change the game in a more offensive-looking manner, but with the rules they are now, that was not a touchdown. It shouldn't have been a touchdown, but it could have been a big touchdown.
Yeah, it could have been very, very – we'd be having a different conversation, not about, you know, peppers and that stuff, obviously, but about the
same
team
conversation.
And about the, you know, the quarterback conversation, the offense we'd be looking at differently. We wouldn't be saying the offense is good, but you went down against the defense. You know, you went down against that Miami defense, which isn't terrible. They played a pretty good game, I thought. Miami defense, they got playmakers on all three levels. They got Ramsey back there. They got Campbell rushing the passer. Like, they got some players. They're not a terrible defense. And if you were able to do, and that was right after their touchdown, right? So it was like the ensuing drive. They score to make it 15-10. They kick off to you, and then that was your drive. 11 plays down there, and you turn it over on downs, obviously. But, like, that would have been an answer to a score in the fourth fourth quarter. Like, that would have been a ton of positives to take away from that. And instead, you know, I mean, it's a game of inches. Unfortunately, that's the way it is. But, yeah, it ended up going another way. And it was, of course, the right call. So don't call us up today and start complaining about the rule. I don't want to do that today. 617, you can call for other things, though. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to Richard in Hyannis with a thought on Drake May. Go ahead, Richard.
Richard?
Do we not have Richard?
Dick?
He should be there.
Well, he's not, I guess. Richard, we'll pop you on hold. Let's go to Joe in Melrose. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, guys. Good. How you doing?
What's up, Joe?
Good. Well, I think, like, officially, the Patriots are officially eliminated from the playoffs, or unofficially eliminated from the playoffs based on yesterday. It's officially a lost season. And you have to start looking. It looks like right now you have a bunch of coaches who are overpromoted. They're not up for the jobs that they've been promoted into. The players are, like, half the players in the roster don't belong in the NFL. And I'll go back to, like, what Bill Walsh said when he first took over the 49ers. He said, it's the worst team in the NFL. If you can't make this team, you can't play in the NFL. So I think a lot of players for the rest of the season have to, like not do stupid things, have to prove that they belong in the NFL. A lot of these coaches are going to have to prove that they actually are worthy of their positions because, I mean, if Alex Van Pelt is probably not going to come back next year as offensive coordinator if they keep putting Jacoby Brissett out there and just keep scoring less than 20 points a game. It's hard to see how DeMarcus Covington comes back as defensive coordinator with this performance, how much the defense got worse from last year to this year. And the offensive line coach definitely not coming back. I mean, Gerard Mayo is going to have to do a lot of talking to keep his job, and so is Elliot Wolf.
I don't think that Gerard Mayo's job is going to be on the line no matter what, even if they don't win another game this season. I don't think so. I also think that for Covington and Van Pelt, they're not going to have to fall on their sword in the sense of losing their job after one season. Also, there's a lot of season to go. The defense could get better and gel a little bit and look better down the stretch. The offense could start to look better down the stretch. Drake May could come in and rise all boats. You know, I mean, that's possible too. So before we start going on after 5 weeks about how all these guys are losing their job, there wasn't high expectations to begin with, and they're under the low expectations, but I think they're still right around where those are. So I don't think that this is some massive underachievement. I don't think they're looking at it that way.
Gerard Mayo, to me, will be the coach next year unless he quits, unless he doesn't want it, realizes this isn't for him. DeMarcus Covington, I think, will be here. To me, the important one and the one that hasn't even the rubber hasn't met the road yet is Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah.
Because it's irrelevant what he did with Jacoby Brissett. All that matters is what he does when he gets Drake May on the field, because that is the guy he's developing. If that's a train wreck and that relationship isn't good and the fit isn't good, then you have to have that tough discussion, because it's terrible for the development of Drake May if you change coordinators, but it's even worse if you keep him with a coordinator that isn't the right guy for multiple years moving forward, right?
I agree with that, yeah.
So the important part of Alex Van Pelt's job has not started yet. That's when, potentially Sunday against Houston, Drake May takes the field. That's when we're really talking. It's also important to acknowledge that, rightly so, it was asked this morning, generally when offenses are this bad, at some point there's a play-calling change. Gerard Mayo was asked if there was going to be a change in play-callers, and he said that is not a consideration right now. Because you have Ben McAdoo, an NFL play-caller, just kind of over here dangling in the breeze. Mm-hmm. He's available. He's close. He's be an easy switch to make.
Yep.
He said that's not a consideration right now.
His office is right over there.
Yep.
You know, you want to walk in, knock on the door, see what he's doing, see what he's up to, see if he has any thoughts or any constructive criticism. You can go over and do that. You're right. Mayo said not happening. We're not considering that right now. I was just going to ask you something, and now I can't remember what it is. I was going to bring up a point from what you just said.
It was a
said,
good one.
And it was going to be great.
Really good.
But it just completely jumped out of my mind. Let's
do you think there will be a point when there is a consideration for, so we're doing the quarterback question. We're doing the, should there be a change at quarterback, which is normal.
Right.
The offense stinks. The quarterback has to change. That's a normal discussion. We're having that discussion. That may change this week.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have the discussion about the play caller? Do you think it's not a consideration in week six we're going into now, right? Yeah,
week six, yes.
It's not a consideration in week six. Is that going to be a talking point or a consideration at some point?
Yeah, I think so.
Doesn't it have to be?
I think that it will be.
Unless Drake May is good.
If May's great, then sure. If May comes in and he struggles, here's what I wanted to ask you. You said that there's nothing you can take away from Van Pelt and the way he's calling plays for Brissett.
Yeah.
I don't know if I agree with that.
Okay.
I don't think that his play calling has been particularly great. You know,
I wouldn't say that either.
I'm watching these games, and I'm watching some of the play calls, and I'm looking at it and thinking, you know, Weren't they talking about shorter passes? Weren't they talking about, you know, getting maybe a little more creative, some screen things, coming with the unexpected? I don't see any of that. We're over a month into the season right now. I've seen one sort of fancy little play, that hook and ladder play. And other than that, it just seems like it's run left, run right, run pass until they get to, you know, the end of the half. And then they decide to just pass forever and give the other team the ball with all their timeouts, which has happened like four times now. But that's sort of part of it, too. I mean, he's calling those plays in. He knows how much time's left on the clock. Like, I haven't been impressed with any part of the play calling here, no matter who the quarterback is in these first 5 weeks. If it was May out there, I'd have those same complaints, I think.
I think you'd have those same complaints. I think you'd probably have more complaints. I think people are acknowledging the limitations of Jacoby Brissett as a starting quarterback. We said it coming into the year.
Yeah.
Remember how much we talked about, like, he's the kind of guy that's going to get you 160 yards and one touchdown and no interceptions. Now, he hasn't necessarily lived up to those numbers specifically, but those were our expectations, right? We didn't expect, and especially in a season where numbers were down early, and we were talking about everybody,
right.
Like nobody was throwing for 200 yards. Everybody was in the 100-yard range. So I get what you're saying. It's funny you bring up that hook and ladder throwback, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't something like that have looked nice? I don't know, when you threw to Hunter Henry in the middle of the field with
totally.
No seconds left. Like, have some Pop Douglas, somebody's running across.
You could extend the play at least another
something.
Couple seconds.
Give me a dream. Give me that, like, that gasp of breath. Like, could we do this? And then he gets tackled. That's fine. He gets tackled. But at least I go, well, they had an idea. They had a plan. It didn't make its way from the chalkboard to the field successfully.
It's a low percentage play, but at least you tried it. Yeah.
Less low percentage than just throwing it to the veteran tight end who doesn't really break tackles in the middle
the
of the field.
15-yard line.
And it just ends. Like, that was a high percentage play to end the game.
Yeah.
That's the only high percentage that came out of that play.
By the way, you were talking about the Brissett, his projected numbers now on ESPN. They have their projected numbers. Do you even want to hear this?
I do, because it's going to make me laugh.
This is horrible. His completion percentage right now is 58.5%. Percentages don't change. 2,366 yards, 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 74.2 passer rating.
Do you want me to give you?
It just wasn't good enough.
It definitely wasn't good enough.
Oh, really? Is that? Are we sure that's not good enough?
And then I can give you my
oh my God,
brag obnoxious dad and go, my son's a high school quarterback and his numbers are better than that. And they actually are.
Yeah. I mean,
it's
yeah.
Kind of sad.
That sounds like, those numbers I just read you sound like someone who got injured in week 8.
Oh, yeah.
Like a good quarterback who went down in week 8 and, like, never, and they was trying to rehab through an injury and just couldn't make it back for the rest of the season. And those were his final numbers for the season. That is a full 17-game projection for Jacoby Brissett, those numbers I just gave you. 2,366 yards, 7 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Because you also need to remember, in these games like the Jets and the Niners, theoretically, you're supposed to pad your stats with cheap comeback numbers. Oh, we're slinging it all over
right.
the field, down 21 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no.
So I got 100 yards passing that really weren't 100 passing yards. They don't even get those somehow. Like that, I don't. Yeah, I'm perplexed. I'm not really perplexed. It is what it is. That's why you need to make the change at quarterback.
I know. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Nothing to be confused about.
Like,
I mean, this is what they signed up for.
I keep comparing it to, you made a defensive coach the offensive coordinator. It was predictably horrific.
Yeah.
And you put this offensive scheme and this quarterback together with no line and no talent at receiver, and it was predictably horrific. Like, there's no, we got what we expected. You got what you should have expected. It, like, there's nothing crazy going on here.
No.
I think he would echo that same sentiment.
Well, we're going to ask him, Gerard, if he echoes that wasn't good enough sentiment.
Yes. Well, see, I'm not sure when we're talking to him exactly. We'll keep the door open here, and if he wants to come in and talk to us, whoever the quarterback wants to come in and talk
anybody.
To us.
Anybody. You don't even have to be a quarterback.
We got a seat right here. Pull up a chair.
Ramondre Stevenson, you want to talk,
down,
come in.
Let's chat. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. If you'd like to call in, we'll get back to your phone calls right after Stiz tells you what's trending.